Hey there, Sunday Night's Main Event listeners. Coming up next, another sample of one of our podcasts. Yeah, we're more than just a weekly wrestling review show. Along with that, we do podcasts each and every day that can be delivered to you directly into your podcatcher by signing up to our Patreon. It is only $1 a week at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And you'll get podcasts like the next one. SmackDown. It falls at the end of the week and sometimes it's forgotten, but we have got you covered with our East Coast dads. Yeah, both of these gentlemen are from Nova Scotia. Yes, they are dads, and we call them the Smack Daddies. Reviewing SmackDown every week. A sample is up next, and if you want to get this review and each and every day get another review of pro wrestling, sign up patreon.com/SNMEradio. But now, your SmackDown review with the Smack Daddies.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, SNME Radio proudly presents, it's reigning, it's defending, it's undisputed, East Coast podcasting tag team champions of the world, Brad the Dad McKinnon, Greg Father Feltham, the Smack Daddies!
Computer, are you? Did I make you a co-host yet?
Yeah,
I'm recording. And we're free.
Hello. Well, I knew that.
Sorry.
This is exactly how we're going to start this. No, frig that. We're starting. Yo, we're out of sync because we haven't been together in like 2 weeks.
I know.
I was on special assignment. You're on special assignment. I think I'm telling you for the first time live that I'm on special assignment next week.
Are you?
Yeah, to visit the Holy Father.
Oh, fun. Oh, I didn't know are you going west?
So I'm never getting on a plane again, but I am going to Quebec City for a family vacation, which just happens to be, you know, I'm a big deal. He knows I'm a big deal. He gave me a call. He gave me a quick call and he said, what should I do to fix all this stuff? I was like, come visit, say I'm sorry. And he's like, when should I come? And I was like, well, I'm hitting up Quebec City. Are you going to Quebec City? He's like, yeah, I'm going to Quebec City. I'm like, well, I'm going to Quebec City like that last week in July. Yeah, yeah. You want to get beers? Okay. Poutine? Yeah, sure. So, you know, me and Francis will hang out at some point. No, you know, like legit not going to see. I had planned this way before anybody knew that the guy was coming.
So you're going to Quebec City to have poutine and beers with the Holy Father.
That's what we're going to say, but that's really cool. Not what's happening. Oh. Legit, straight up, I'll tell you later, a friend of mine was trying to get himself, he's an organ player by trade, and he wanted to get himself to be able to play it something, and then he was told, no, that can't happen. So then instead, what ends up happening, somebody else gets a promotion, there's an empty spot, he's now going to be one of the assistant masters of ceremony. So there's an MC and there's three minor MCs. So he's going to be one of the guys that's telling people where to sit during the ceremonies.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Found that out while I was traveling this week. All right. So now we're totally, I don't care. Hey guys. Hello, friends. Hello, special friends. Hello, everybody. Welcome to your Smack Daddies podcast. As Mr. Brig Boy said, like 2 minutes ago, I am Brad, the dad riding shotgun. Finally, back together, reunited, and it feels so good. My tag team partner, Greg Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
We are your Smack Daddies. We are here to talk to you about, we're going to talk about SmackDown eventually, but like, you know how I knew it was Friday?
How? Well, because the world blew up, news blew up.
Dude, like the stuff that happened today, you got Donald Trump being a donkey. You got, okay, we're living here in Nova Scotia. Did you hear about the fire?
I did hear about the fire. The ferry to PEI caught fire. Fun times.
Yes, the ferry to PEI got caught fire. People on a ferry with their cars on a ferry. So it's a ferry that takes people and cars from Nova Scotia to PEI. There used to only be this. Now there's a bridge. But people still take the ferry from Nova Scotia to PEI because the bridge is all the way in New Brunswick. It's 3 hours away. Whatever. So people are doing their thing. The thing catches fire. People get off on lifeboats and then they have to run the damn thing aground. I don't know if you're getting your car back.
don't know.
If your car is on the PEI ferry and it's run aground, how do they get it off?
Well, it ran aground on a shoal, so I mean that's not so bad. I mean it might refloat out or whatever. The bigger thing is that the damn boat was still on fire as of tonight. So I mean I don't know what's going to be left to the cars that are on it is really more my concern. But
also, just for the record, there's only like two of these stupid ferries. So like if you're planning to take the ferry to PEI anytime soon.
Tomorrow's all canceled because this ferry that ran aground is blocking the path of what the other ferry needs to take to dock.
So meanwhile, they had all those other people that are on the other ferry had to turn around, go back, get unloaded, and then they had to make a 4-hour drive to PEI. Or a 4-hour drive from PEI to where they wanted to go in Nova Scotia. Boy, people are going to be angry. And, you know, this little bit about Vince McMahon retiring.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Brad, you mentioned travel, and I know you've been on the road this week. Why don't you tell all your friends here what happened? Because you and I haven't really talked about this. So as Brad holds his head in despair, and as I get ready in a couple of weeks to go on special assignment to the US, I'm nervous, Brad. I'm really nervous.
So I stopped and had a big drink of water. But before I tell the story,
I don't know why you're drinking water. There we go.
First of all, 50-50 chance because I was in a US airport and in the state of Texas that I have COVID.
That's fair.
I also managed to completely run my immune system down because the Commonwealth would gather during, as you know, at the Embassy Suites. There's a happy hour. And apparently you mentioned the happy hour.
I warned you in advance.
Right. But you said it was a happy hour. I don't know if you explicitly said the drinks were free.
Yes, there are free drinks and free snacks typically.
Yes. So all you want, and if you walk over to the nice guy and give him a single,
yeah,
you get not a shot. No. You get a double.
Yeah, that can happen. That can happen. I've been to these happy hours where we just got trays of drinks at a time. It was just easier that way.
So what he did for me was, and I wasn't like, I was probably having maybe 4 or 5 drinks, but for me, that's a lot of booze.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I'm there. I'm at a beautiful conference. Lots of fun. I basically was there with a keynote speaker and rolling like Elvis. He couldn't walk 3 feet without getting somebody to autograph or tell them how great he is. And it was just a wild experience. Literally at one point, I had to pretend that we had an important meeting to get him out of a room.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was just, he couldn't, it was insanity. It was insanity.
Jesus. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, Elvis. He was on the Elvis
line. Bigger than Elvis. Okay, very good. Sorry.
I'm pretty sure.
I get my singers confused. Sorry about that.
I also don't want lightning bolts flung out at me. So, and listen, I've already been through hell and back. So flying through, for those of you who don't know, we're talking about is the fact that Air Canada and a vacuum cleaner have something in common.
It's not just Air Canada. It's all of them right now. Hey, I think it's Toronto.
Toronto might be the problem. Anyways, yeah. What does Air Canada and a vacuum cleaner have in common?
They both suck.
You damn right. And I made my travel partner, a lady that I work with, she was pissing herself laughing. Like I said that about 2 o'clock in the morning and she was delusional by that point from a lack of sleep. So we have been up
to that point. You've been up for how long?
22 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
So we went, finished our conference, got up in the morning, got there. The conference last session started at 8 a.m. We had to be there for 8. Session started at 8:30. Finished the session, roll back, hang out with some people. By this point, we got the first notification our plane is 1 hour late. No, 30 minutes late.
That's not bad.
Not bad. Well, it's COVID, so everything's late. So anyways, we decide, well, you know, by the time we clear customs, we got a 2.5 hour. It's 2.5 hours before the flight now. Let's just go to there. We'll just see how it goes. Okay. The lovely Embassy Suites shuttle driver drops us off. We go in. We clear customs in 45 minutes.
That's not bad.
No, not bad for a busy Dallas airport. So in Dallas, we run into our peeps that we met at the conference from Toronto. We're hanging out there. We're having a few chats. And all of a sudden, our phones get kicked off the Wi-Fi every hour on the hour.
Lovely. That's
60 minutes. You kicked off the Wi-Fi. It's just a security thing at the Dallas airport, I guess. I don't know. Somebody from Dallas explained to me. Yeah. Okay. So then we gave him delays and delays. And finally, it's like 6:30. We're like, okay, we probably should have supper, I guess. So we went. The only thing left open in the Dallas airport, Chick-fil-A closed. All of these other restaurants closed. The only thing left is TGI Fridays. I get a crap load of ribs and Long Island iced tea.
Yep.
Go back. At this point, we're at 4.5 hour flight delay. So it's a 4.5 hour flight delay. I'm sure the flight's going to be canceled. The only thing that gives us all hope, and literally an airport full of people begin to cheer for two things. One, we find out that Air Canada is going to be fine because they're flying into Pearson after midnight.
That's two, fair because you can't go into the island.
Right. So two, you then have the flight crew walk up. And we realize, oh, our flight, we're not getting the same flight crew that's going to time out. We're getting a brand new flight crew. So this plane's getting out of here tonight.
Sweet.
So we definitely get out of there. And then
how late were you before you actually, like, how late were you from the time you were supposed to depart to the time you actually took off?
Flight time, original flight time was supposed to be 5:20 Dallas time. Original leaving time was 5 o'clock Dallas time, leaving 9:30 Dallas time.
Okay, so at this point, you are 4.5 hours behind schedule.
4.5 hours behind schedule. We arrive. We actually make up 15 minutes in the air. I don't know how, but we do. So we arrive in Toronto. There is craziness at customs. It's a fancy, just scan your face, custom experience. I ended up bringing back stuff. I didn't break any laws, but I don't know if anybody even looked at my suitcase. Like, let's be honest, they're just like rolling you through customs. Yeah. But by the time we get through customs, it is now 1:30 a.m. I'm supposed to have drinks with Matt and Boris, which that plan's been out of the window for a while because I told them I'm 4 hours delayed. So we go down to pick up our baggage, and right, one bag shoots out and the other one doesn't.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. So it ends up that our bags are mislabeled. So hers actually wasn't supposed to shoot out. My travel companion, her bag wasn't supposed to shoot out either. They're supposed to be shipped to Halifax, even though we asked them to be just tagged to Toronto and we'll recheck them the next day. One came out, one didn't. We didn't look for my bag, hers would have been sitting on a carousel till God knows when. Eventually, some nice man, first guy blows me off from the baggage claim. The second guy says, hey man, I'll go get your bag. You're staying here in Toronto. I'll go get it. He goes up, he comes back down with six bags. For six people who thought they had lost bags, he finds six of them while he's gone looking. The other guy is talking to this lady. She has two kids. One's like six. One's like four. Okay?
Yeah.
She sends them to an airport in Pearson by themselves because she's too busy arguing about her bag.
She sent them where?
To the bathroom.
Because
the little guy need to pee.
Lovely.
Okay. So.
Yep.
What happens next?
I'm scared to ask.
So the little guy comes back out. The older guy is chasing the little guy. The little guy has no pants on.
Lovely.
The older guy is chasing him with his pants.
And what time of the morning is this?
This is now about 3 o'clock in the morning. This little guy is running around Pearson. Without any clothes on, without any pants on, sorry. He had his shirt on. Let's get it straight. Running around, eventually ends up lying on the floor and...
as we all kind of want to do at some point.
And may or may not have been discovering himself.
Lovely, lovely.
And people are laughing now. The lady cannot be bothered to go get her kids. And then the kid makes a wind sprint for the exit for security. And the baggage claim guy is like, well, the only good news is the police won't let him leave without his mother.
Great, great. So, okay. So we've got naked children. That's great. What else
we got? We got lost baggage. Finally, we get let out. By the time we call the nice people to pick us up from the airport shuttle, it turns out that it only runs once an hour, the airport shuttle, to where we're staying.
Lovely.
Holiday Inn does not get a very good recommendation from me. So anyways, going to go to the Holiday Inn by the time we get there and I check in and I get to my room, it's 4 a.m. My flight back to Halifax is at 8 a.m. So if you're doing the math in your head, folks, the guy at this airport said, Toronto's crazy. Get here 2 to 2.5 hours early. So I literally went up to my room. I jumped on my bed. I made as much noise as I possibly could because I wanted people to think I was having a good time. I drank both coffees in there, both decafs. I stole the tea, put it in my bag, took all of the coffee utensils and stuff, put that in my bag, used all 4 coffee cups, used one of the plastic cups because I feel like a monster using more than one of the plastic cups. That'll hurt the environment. Took all of the stuff, including I almost took the hair dryer, but I knew they charged me for that. So I took everything that I possibly could take that they wouldn't charge me from, jumped on the bed, took a 30-minute shower to try and wake myself back up. Because if I went to sleep, I wasn't waking up. And then I used every single towel. And like I cleaned my coffee mug, my travel mug with one of the towels. I went nuts. I did as much, tried to be as gross as possible without getting charged for it.
Lovely.
I then get dressed, meet my travel companion back at the airport at 5:30. So I have literally been in this hotel room for an hour and a half and they had the balls to charge me $180 for my room and $180 for her room.
Yep.
$1 a minute, Greg. To which I look at the guy dead in the eyes and say, I could have done some crazy illicit drugs or had a lot more fun in that room for $1 a minute.
That's very fair.
Okay, so back to the airport. Takes us. So it's a cattle call there, by the way. I don't know if you know this.
So what time did you arrive at Pearson for your flight?
6.
6 for flights at what time again?
8. Domestic's okay. Supposed to be an hour. However, yes, my bag...
2 hours before.
Our bags were already tagged, so yeah. I threw mine in. At this point, the lady I'm traveling with would not let go of her bag.
Fair
enough. So then by the time I get mine through, because it rejected it once, but then they said, oh, you've already checked it once, took it out. You still have the original tag. We'll just buddy press the button, it goes through, which I do get my bag back. That's the happy part of the story. Walking through, and this lady's like, and the lady we're talking through is like, yeah, I travel from Winnipeg to Nashville. This other lady we met in line.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the line went out to the door at Pearson, around the corner, out the door. That was the get to security.
That's the get to security line. Not the security line itself, the get to security line.
Right. So we got to security. Mm-hmm. It took us, by the time we clear security, it takes an hour and 15 minutes. And this lady's explained to me that she's making $400 a week because she flies to Nashville or her husband flies to Nashville. From Nashville to Winnipeg, and they have not had a plane. They've been doing this since the first week in May, and they have not had a flight time where one of them didn't get stopped somewhere more than 4 hours and get their $400.
Lovely.
Okay. So by the time we get security, they check, realize that there's a nail file in my travel companion's bag, which means that they have to take her whole bag apart to make sure that this deadly weapon was not getting on the plane.
Correct. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we've been through security 3 times already with this nail file. She didn't check the bag the whole way down.
Gotcha.
So finally, we get through security, and then we're sitting there in the airport, and they start saying, A, the flight is overbooked, so they're kicking people off the plane that were put on by standby. So they're getting booted off the plane, so there's a little bit of a confrontation going on. They're offering money for us not to get on the plane, which at this point I'm starting to think about. And, oh, by the way, the plane's already an hour late.
So your 8 a.m. flight became a 9 a.m. flight.
Yep. Oh, and for shits and giggles, besides the free-range child running around butt-ass naked the night before, I go into the men's bathroom, and there's a fountain. There's a water feature. The urinals are full of God knows what, but the water from the... And they're constantly running, so the water from the urinals is just flowing over and filling the men's bathroom.
Oh, my God.
To which I turn to the guy... We're about to, both of us look at each other as we're walking out of this, figure we're going to the next bathroom. And some stranger, I don't know, I just look at him and smile and say, well, that's a pretty good metaphor. I know we're not supposed to talk men's bathrooms, but that's a pretty good metaphor for how Pearson is running these days. Oh. And so while the Air Canada crew is getting yelled at, I walk over and I'm like, I don't want to be a pain in the ass, but the bathroom's flooded over there as the water begins to flow out of the bathroom into the main section of Pearson.
So the moral of the story is never travel with brass.
The moral of the story is don't travel with Air Canada or Pearson. And if you do both, God knows what will happen. Oh, and but now the good news is by the time I got home, my bag came right out. I was able to give my daughter her presents, my son his present, and my wife my wife's apparently learning how to fish. So I bought her two of the best lures, because in America, not only can you buy lures and cool hats at your local
Bass Pro. Cabela's,
yeah, but you can also buy lots of large guns. So I have my friend from Australia posing with pictures of guns because you know we're from the Commonwealth and that's a weird concept for us.
It is in fact. So
which you prefer, the free range children or the water feature in the Pearson bathroom?
So yours truly is has to head to the States in a few weeks for work. And I've already looked at flights and stuff. And all I can see is like there's a lot of options, like fly to Pearson, fly to Dorval. And I'm thinking to myself, nope. So I think I'm going to fly to Boston and go from Boston.
So I had no problems going. I know people complain in Montreal. I had no problems in Montreal. Security was lovely. And they were efficient. But yeah, I don't know. If I had to do it over again, Boston, New York, anywhere else.
Well, there's no flights to New York right now because we don't have United from here to the States. So you've got to go. Air Canada will take us to Boston, or you can go. American Airways is going to Philly, Dulles. I want to say somewhere else right now.
Wait. Did you say American Airlines goes to Dallas?
No, Dulles, Washington, Dulles, not Dallas.
Oh, I was about to cry. I was like, there was a direct flight to Dallas and I didn't take it. What the hell? Like, if we save $200 on this, and it's just one of those things, you just shake your head like, and the nice airline people were like, it's basically very simple. We pay the flight crew and the ground crew and all the people who work desks here like dirt. So people have moved on to real jobs.
Yep.
So that was my trip. And then, so I came home, slept. Got up, went for a run and stuff, watched a little TV with my wife, slept some more, went to work today, came home, got some exercise. And then all of a sudden, my phone, as we're having supper around 7 o'clock, my phone explodes.
So I was leaving the office. I went into the office today. Fridays I normally go, I donate blood, go to the office for a little bit. I'm leaving the office a little bit later than I normally do, 5:30, and my phone starts to explode. And let's talk the news of the week at this point, because there's really one story. So hit the music. So 4:05 p.m. Eastern time, Vince McMahon sends out a tweet that says, at 77, time for me to retire. Thank you, WWE Universe, then, now, and forever. Our friends at Fightful reported that they had an all hands on deck meeting planned for 5 p.m. Eastern that was a Zoom call with WWE, the new, renew executive vice president of talent relations, Triple H, because that news came out earlier in the day that Triple H is back in that EVP role, and CEO Stephanie McMahon and president Nick Khan. They were all going to be in Boston for SmackDown tonight. A lot of people apparently in their initial reports were rather surprised. About hearing about Vince McMahon's news, because most people thought that he was going to be with the company until he dies. Fightful updated their reporting a little bit later, WWE confirmed that McMahon is retiring from all active roles within the company, and they claim it's not storylines, that includes from creative. That Stephanie McMahon and Nick Khan were named co-CEOs, eliminating the interim title from Stephanie's role. She'll stay on as chairman of the company. They believe that decision was made actually last week, but the news came as a shock to most. There were internal rumors that Brock Lesnar was very pissed about the news and left. That was reported by Brian Alvarez from Wrestling Observer. Fightful also confirmed they heard that rumor. And Brock Lesnar was slated to be all over SmackDown tonight and abruptly left, and they had to rewrite SmackDown. The all hands on deck meeting wasn't really as much as portrayed. Most Raw talent weren't required to attend. It was simply a quick goodbye to those who were there. internal message to staff initially received was that Vince was retiring. He wants them to continue waving the WWE flag. Talent were told at the meeting at Money in the Bank week, so that Vince McMahon was here to stay and wasn't going anywhere. So that was only a couple weeks back that, you know, everything was set for Vince to stay on. But there had been rampant and unconfirmed rumors among talent that we should expect people like Kevin Dunn to be the next to leave. Even though Dunn and Bruce Pritchard are points of contact for tonight's SmackDown, when talent speculated John Laurinaitis would be ousted, they ended up being right, and Kevin Dunn was part of the talent meeting on Friday. They updated, Fightful again, updated their reporting on this and learned that the show was rewritten at the last minute to not feature Brock Lesnar. Producers and some members of creative were told that Bruce Pritchard is taking over Vince McMahon's television duties going forward, and that Bruce Pritchard will be taking some direction from Vince as he transitions out of that role. But that's kind of the reporting that we were able to get from our friends at Fightful tonight on this story. But Vince McMahon out as everything to do with WWE. Obviously, he still will remain as a shareholder of the company and the major voting block of the company, still remain on the board, I'm assuming, up at this point, because that's kind of independent than everything else. But day-to-day stuff from creative, he's gone, and his he already gave up his chairman and CEO roles. So big day in wrestling. Didn't think we'd be reporting on that as soon as we have, but that's where we are tonight. Brad, thoughts?
It's more in-depth reporting to come on the Big Show with Mike McGuire, and I'm sure, heck, who knows, we're doing our live after party for Death Before Dishonor tomorrow. I wonder if this won't come up in that conversation. Who knows? Let's start with the shock of all of it, because I don't know about you. I thought Vince was going to live to be a billion years old.
Fair.
I thought 50-50 chance that my kids would bury me before I saw the end of Vince McMahon.
That's reasonable. That's probably a bet we could have all taken.
So, second thing, I cannot believe that he's gone. Like, part of me is not, like, it's gotten really bad, and I'm wondering if who chose what, whether it was what happened? What is the thing that made Vince jump? Because as I was listening to Mike and Joe talk about Raw, because I watched some of Raw because I got back to my hotel room and with my Whataburger and maybe I stopped at 7-Eleven and got myself a little something for my Whataburger drink. And watching,
it's nice and early there, right? I mean, you're watching.
Raw, I got the end, like, of
6 a.m. 6 p.m. or something stupid.
Yeah, right? I got back to my room at 8, so I really got the last hour. So I kept hearing about this Titus stuff on Twitter. Eventually, found a spot where I could watch just that promo, and I was like, oh my god, what's wrong with Titus?
Yeah.
And so I thought that was your preventative measure of getting, you know, WWE rah, 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 so Vince doesn't have to go. But this is crazy, Greg. What is the point? Okay. How bad is this going to get? Because that's the only thing that keeps coming to my mind is, if Vince could withstand the last couple of allegations, what is about to hit the fan?
That's a very good question. I don't know. And it's funny. I was driving to work this morning, and it dawned on me of all these Friday stories that hit. I think I was listening to probably Fightful Select or something in the car at the time, or listening to one of our SNME podcasts. And they were talking about how often, like, the Vince McMahon stories happen to drop on Fridays. And I thought to myself, you're right. I wonder what's going to drop this Friday. And then this happens. And I'm just like, gentle Lord, like, could I have, foreshadowed this any more than me thinking about it in the car this morning? Like, what's the next to drop in the Vince McMahon case? And it's his retirement.
We made the joke last week, just because we didn't do a news pack, because you weren't here, and it's not as much fun without you, that, nothing happened. Literally, that was my note on there, was Vince McMahon, nothing happened. And then today it was like, Vince McMahon, everything happened. Yeah. So he's gone. Stephanie's and Nick Kahn are in charge of the company. How do you feel about Stephen and Nick being? Well, I know how you feel about Stephanie McMahon.
That's 100% accurate. How you know how I feel about Steph. Nick Kahn, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
And
who was it that I was listening to recently? They basically said, look, WWE is set up that like a monkey could run it right now. Like,
that was our. We're not that smart.
SNME.
Yeah, it was Mike McGuire. Shout out to Mike.
Okay. So I want to make sure I'm not, you know, taking credit or passing credit to the wrong people, but it was Mike. Like, you know, WWE is set up, you know, in that, you know, everything is kind of like the TV deals are taken care of. So I mean, it's not like this can't be done. I mean, and I'm curious to see what the stock's going to do Monday, to be honest. I mean, obviously, this came out after market close today. Curious what WWE stock is going to do next week.
Listen, I could give two craps what WWE stock does because I don't have any stock. And if it goes down a lot, I'm going to buy some. What is going to happen with the fact that now Triple H might be running the show?
That's good question.
Because who's in charge of creative now?
So Bruce Pritchard's in charge of creative right now.
Well, for the next 2 weeks, because let's be perfectly frank about this. Bruce, Kevin, all those guys are Vince's crew. And if you don't think Triple H has a long memory, like remember the Reign of Terror when he was the world champion on Raw, how he buried people like Scott Steiner?
Fair.
Wait, do you hear that? I can hear Road Dogg yelling somewhere, oh, you didn't know.
So at the end of, at 4 p.m. this afternoon, WWE stock was at 66.25 and aftermarket jumped up to 66.89. It's down as of this evening to 66.30. So it's really pretty well unchanged. It took a little jump, but now it's kind of petered back out. So
here's my running theory. Shawn Michaels to SmackDown, Road Dogg to Raw, and there's your new running staff for those two shows, reporting directly to Triple H. Maybe Billy Gunn's contract will be up soon and he'll be back for it. He can go and run NXT because basically the click is back in charge. Maybe Nash is going to come in and start writing. Waltman. Like, I could see the click firmly entrenched into the WWE writing staff.
Could be.
And you could do much worse. Like, you know, I'd bring back, I'd be reaching out to people like Jake Roberts. Like, I'd go with some, there's some great minds in wrestling. And a lot of the time, they would have clashed with Vince. But Vince is gone now. I mean, if we get Raw Black and Gold and SmackDown Black and Gold, we get old NXT style stuff. I mean, maybe all these guys, small guys jump too soon. Because I think with Triple H in charge, anything's possible.
Could be. Could very well be. So
the winner in all this is the wrestling fan.
Hopefully.
Okay. Wait. Sorry. I'm going to tap some wood. Can't get any worse.
Yeah. You see that now.
Okay. But in all seriousness, we're going to talk about SmackDown eventually. Can it get worse? This show looked like it was rewritten. Oh my gosh. Okay, in fairness, NXT Level Up, AEW Dark, AEW Elevation, any of those shows are kind of hot garbage.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could have hot garbage on our screen, so who knows, but yeah.
It's not 2015 Impact, 2015 Impact.
I don't know. Yeah.
So yeah, let's just go through this SmackDown. I mean, the rest of you, you're not getting very much of a detailed SmackDown. Because to be honest with you, I don't really have a lot to say about this episode of SmackDown. Other than I think we need to talk about this first episode, this first part of SmackDown, in light of what we just talked about. Because we start SmackDown and Stephanie McMahon is in the ring. Greg's second favorite Stephanie is in the ring.
Thank you for putting that in.
Wait, I want to make sure I say this nice and loud in case this is playing in your car. Greg's second favorite, Stephanie. And if he ever yells Stephanie at any time in any activity, he's referring to the other Stephanie, not Stephanie McMahon.
That would be 100% accurate. I know you missed me last week. By the way, Brad, this was episode 1192 from Boston, Mass.
Perfect. So anyways, apparently... the big news is that Vince retired, and she's talking about how Vince made this company and he did everything. And Vince said thank you to the WWE Universe, but really the WWE Universe needs to say thank you to Vince. And then we got a smattering of boos when they announced Vince's retirement, and Stephanie eventually led to a thank you Vince chant.
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy, was this okay. This is, of all the Vince crap we've seen, this is the most awkward one, right?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think Titus's stuff from Monday was worse.
Oh, I think that this is pretty bad too, because, I mean, can you imagine? I want to play this clip, this thank you Vince clip. So the next time when we find out that he has seven more sexuals, we're trying to determine, allegedly, are these alleged acts that happened with him, are they sexual misconduct, sexual assault, sexual misdemeanors, whatever, or just weird sex crap that Vince McMahon's into, allegedly.
Whatever they are, Brad. Whatever.
Allegedly. Anyways, it's just one of those things where you're like, yeah, it's okay. I'll put you to the point. We are sitting at supper. This stuff is happening. We don't look at our phones while we have supper as a rule. But my phone kept exploding, and then I'm having to explain to my two teenage children, why my phone's exploding. And
speaking of your phone exploding, I gotta stop the SmackDown review.
Why?
Because I sent you a text in super secret group text this week, and I gotta tell everyone about it.
Okay,
so
sure.
I don't remember what day this is.
It's not a weird sexual thing like we're hanging out at. Okay, sure.
Kind of. So that's why my mind kind of went there. But I think it was Monday or Tuesday. And I was scrolling through Twitter, and I come across a picture of Natty Neidhart wearing next to nothing in a bikini or something like that. And I send it and I text it to Brad.
I'm scrolling back through to see when you sent this, because I remember. Oh, I do remember this. Okay. Because I remember when I, oh yeah, that this is before the planes are parked. This is before you doing your sleep study.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so this is Monday at 6 o'clock, our time, 6 o'clock, which is 4 o'clock our time, which means I'm still at my conference, and this comes up, and I forgot to turn off my notifications.
This comes up on your phone, and in my head, I was thinking of Brad, and knowing Brad would be at the Embassy Suites, they had these free drinks in the evening. I'm picturing Brad sat at a table with his esteemed work colleagues, some of them who may very well be wearing collars.
And maybe celibate,
sat around a table, and Brad's phone going off, myself and Poppy and Matt texting back and forth about this picture of Natty, and me imagining in my head, Brad sat around the table, and you know, his priestly friends asking Brad what his phone is blowing up about, and Brad having to show this picture of Natty Neidhart to his priestly friends.
I know, but I was waiting. Thankfully, I didn't have to show it to anybody, but I was waiting for this. A couple of times my phone went off, and my boss has this nasty habit of just like turning his head and looking at whatever's on your screen. So I was just waiting for this to be, this would have been the time he would have turned his head at a conference where he's a rock star, and just having him make it whatever it is. He's got a terrible poker face. I kind of want to hustle him some cash. So yeah, the only other thing to come out of this is let's play a tweet. So this, courtesy of Mr. Tony Khan, thanks to you wrestling fans and your great support of at AEW, I am grateful to now be the longest tenured CEO of pro wrestling. Thank you very much for every single person who watches at AEW, and then he highlighted Rampage. You know what? Tony, I don't Khan think this is
ours, that I like it.
I don't know if it's true.
I'm sure it's not, because, I mean, Kurt Bauer has had MLW for a while. Kerrigan, Billy Corrigan from Smashing Pumpkins has had NWA.
The guy who runs Impact's been had that since they bought the, since whoever bought the Flying Owl bought them, right? Like, yeah. Piss off, Tony Khan.
But and it made me laugh.
It made me laugh, but I have a rule. You don't punch down.
No, that's fair.
And listen, I get it. He's trying to get something, but it's like, dude, when there is not one of us has that few skeletons in our closet that if the crap came out into the light that we wouldn't have be slightly embarrassed by something we've done in our past.
That's fair.
Not as bad as Vince McMahon, but slightly embarrassed. So when the crap happens to Tony Khan, I almost feel like I hope Vince is still alive when Tony's stuff hits it, and he just quote tweets this tweet. And shoots back at him like, Also, Vince McMahon is still a genetic freak, and Tony Khan is going to be somewhere where Vince is at some point. And at this point, Vince has got nothing to lose and everything to beat the crap out of Tony Khan with.
Fair. You know, I got you off from talking about SmackDown?
Yes. Well, let's continue on. So this godforsaken show. So we have the crowd, and then they just roll. So this is a new transition. We don't actually transition. We just kind of roll. So all of a sudden, from the thank you Vince stuff,
and Stephanie mouthing "I love you, Dad" into the camera,
we go right to the Street Profits dancing down the aisle. So this doesn't matter. Like,
nope.
they dance on to the aisle. And they quote Kevin Durant saying anything is possible. Austin Theory cuts them off. He's then talking about how he's going to win all the titles in one night. He badmouths Roman and Brock before out come the Usos, and he's stuck between a rock and a hard place. Eventually this leads to a confrontation. The Usos and the Street Profits fight. Theory doesn't know what to do, so he decides to join the Usos, I guess. And the Usos and Theory beat down until Madcap Moss comes out for the save. And then, I mean, the only cool part about this is Angelo Dawkins is like clearly lost some weight and done some work on his hops. That crazy somersault dive out to the outside looked awesome. And this sets up a match later in the night, which they didn't really announce so much later.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like between the Street Profits and Austin Theory were like 40 minutes of this SmackDown.
Yeah, very much so. It was a very short night of talent tonight.
Also, it is the classic WWE versus AEW thing. AEW probably has the same number of matches in 1 hour this week than we got on SmackDown 2. And this is going to be brutal. So anyways, out comes Shinsuke Nakamura. Recap number one, Shinsuke, how he won his number one contender match, I say with a question mark, because I realized that he's not wrestling Gunther. He's wrestling Ludwig again.
Correct. Yep.
All right. So match number one tonight, Ludwig Kaiser versus Shinsuke Nakamura. And the first thing I noticed is Shinsuke is wearing his fat Elvis top.
Never noticed.
He's not wearing, so he usually wears pants.
He usually just wears pants. You're right. One thing I noticed on this show early on, anyway, up to this point, is that everyone was wearing black.
Yeah, a lot of black. Well, red with Ludwig.
Red with Ludwig. I mean, once we got Ludwig, was the first guy to actually wear a base color that wasn't black. But Theory, actually, I'm not sure. Theory may have been gray. But I mean, the Street Profits, the Usos, Madcap Moss, Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, they're all in black tonight.
Yeah, and this was something. I mean, basically, Shinsuke got a little bit of offense, but it was a lot of Ludwig. Eventually, Shinsuke starts hitting his classic, his sliding suplex, all of his Shinsuke moves. A couple of times, we get distractions from Gunther, which never work until finally, Shinsuke's got a roll up on Ludwig. He goes into the ropes. Gunther gets a cheap shot. The ref doesn't see. Ludwig hits this weird, I don't know. It looks kind of like Cody Rhodes's finisher, but he has a leg lock involved. It's just a weird looking finisher. Ludwig beats Shinsuke.
Yeah.
And then we get to the top of the ramp. It looks, Ludwig thinks he's going to get shot by Gunther. Gunther pats on the back and he's slightly relieved that he's not getting beaten up, but he still gets the chop. And yeah, so is Shinsuke still getting a match with Gunther at some point?
I don't know, and I'm not sure I really care.
Me neither. Okay.
Sweet.
And listen, there's nothing wrong with this. These guys, it's just weird.
That's fair.
It's like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, Ludwig and Shinsuke are going to have three matches before we get to the title match.
Maybe.
Ugh. All right. I'm just okay. So we've already gotten the one recap with Shinsuke, which was recap number one. How we thought he had the number one contender match. We then get recap number two, which is Ronda Rousey and Liv Morgan for Money in the Bank, including Liv's big title win. We then have an announcement. I've already skipped the commercial. I don't care. We have an announcement in the back. Kayla Braxton's there with Liv and Ronda. And Ronda says she doesn't blame her for taking the opportunity. But let's be honest, I'm Ronda Rousey and you're Liv Morgan. At SummerSlam, I'm going to beat you. And Liv says, I'm not going to look you into the eyes and say that I can beat you because I'm better than you. I'm going to tell you that I'm going to beat you because I want this more than you. And finally, with Ronda looks back at her and says, I respect your passion, but I'm going to leave the title. And afterwards, I expect you to shake my hand just like I shook yours.
Yeah.
Is this passable? Like, I didn't feel like this was bad.
I didn't care about it.
Anytime Ronda's on there and I don't fast forward through her, want to fast forward through her segment because I can't fast forward anymore because I review this stuff, I don't feel so bad.
Your heart. I mean, all right. It was serviceable.
Yeah. Well, as we're talking about this, Pat McAfee's there on the commentator's desk and Corbin attacks him.
Yeah, Michael Cole jumps out of the way, and then like 5 seconds later is when Corbin hits Pat McAfee.
My favorite part of this is that when Corbin can't do a good enough job beating him up, that McAfee can't shake it off and come wind sprinting up the aisle and get him. So we end up, McAfee chases him up the aisle. Corbin runs into Gorilla. As we see the camera in the back, McAfee comes running into Gorilla. Corbin tries to take his head off with the chair. He misses. They're separated. Yeah, this sets up our commercial. Back from commercial, we get recap number three, the SmackDown promo, and then recap number four from moments ago, because we couldn't remember from the commercial what happened between McAfee and Corbin.
Correct.
McAfee cuts a promo, bum-ass Corbin, Michael Cole's the GOAT, all going to kill him at SummerSlam, I'm going to win my match, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, great.
And then we go right into recap number five, which shows us all the stuff with the new Viking Raiders from last week, and that's what you missed last week. You went back and watched it with a detailed notes. Would you like to add to from your detailed notes what you thought of the new Vicious Viking Raiders being impersonated by the New Day?
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I enjoyed that too. I heard some other people were people either love New Day or hate them. I love New Day. I think they're hilarious. So they're all comedy.
It made me laugh for a couple of reasons, like the impersonation, like these Viking Raiders in my mind are very much Bludgeon Brothers. That's how I picture them, and I've said that before. But then tonight, when we see New Day out at ringside, and we see Xavier Woods wearing a unicorn mask, face mask, that puts me in mind of that sheep mask that they would wear for the Wyatts. It's just, you know, hearkening back to these tag teams from not so distant past.
Well, like, come on now. You're not supposed to remember anything for longer than 3 weeks ago.
That's fair. Listen, I barely remembered SmackDown was on tonight. So
match number two. Oh boy. The new Vicious Viking Raiders, because I have to put all that alliteration in, versus Slim Shanky and Jinder Mahal. Bollywood Boys 2.0.
So at what point did they stop calling them the new Vicious Viking Raiders? Because they didn't update the Tron to say the new Vicious Viking Raiders. It's all Samantha Irving who's saying it.
Yeah. I don't know. So does the New Day. They call them New Vision Viking Raiders. The only thing that drove me nuts. Okay, so on the plus side, Xavier Woods was, they talked about him being the king. He still has his crown. On the downside, whenever they made a point by Michael Cole on commentary, the New Day just shattered him down.
Yeah.
So this match basically leads to a fight to the outside where the New Vicious Viking Raiders throw Jinder into into the New Day, and they get a count out win.
Correct.
And they're not only new, but they're smart.
Apparently they know how to count to 10.
And they can outsmart Jinder and Shanky. Is that really an accomplishment?
Not really. 1:31 on that match, and I forgot to say on the Ludwig and Shinsuke match, 9:27.
Yep, and in the back, we see Adam Pearce. He's talking. He says that Corbin's gone. We then hear him talk, making... Sonya comes in and makes fun of him, talks about how he needs to spruce up his resume. Hopefully, he will spend the fine money on that he got from her. And he goes, fine, you know what? You're going to have a match tonight versus Raquel Rodriguez. Is that a punishment?
Sure.
I don't think it is. I think she could win this match.
I don't know. Does it matter?
Not really. All right. Fight Night comes out. We're getting a Sheamus promo.
Yay.
Back for commercial. We have Sheamus there. He's talking about how the sword's a menace. Drew McIntyre has a weapon around. And then we get recap number. I forgot to write down the number. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, recap number 6. Dear God, why is there another recap?
Sure.
Anyways, Drew McIntyre comes out to face off with Sheamus. He says that you used to be a tough guy and we used to roll up and down the roads and now you're a wimp and you won't even have a match. And this turns into a shillelagh on a pole match, but it's not that. What is this name of this stupid match?
This match is going to be called the old-fashioned Irish Donnybrook fight.
Right, where shillelaghs will be legal.
Correct. It's a shillelagh match.
But not swords. However, Drew uses his sword to cut Sheamus' shillelagh in half.
Correct.
That's a gimmick shillelagh, right?
That's, yeah.
Are you actually excited for this next week?
No. I'm not even sure it's going to happen next week, so...
Oh, something's going to happen at SummerSlam.
Maybe. I forgot that next week is the go-home show for SummerSlam. All right, maybe.
Paul Heyman's in the back, and he and the Usos have a promo. It's a great Paul Heyman promo. I can't do it. Him and the Usos play off well together. And he ends with his, this is not a prediction, it's a spoiler line.
Yeah.
Raquel Rodriguez comes out for her match with Sonya Deville, and after the commercial, we get Raquel Rodriguez versus Sonya Deville. I think this is match number 4. Basically, Raquel keeps showing off her power. Sonya finds a way to use her strikes. Eventually, Raquel overpowers her with a Chikona bomb. 1, 2, 3 for the win. Sorry, yes, Tahana bomb.
The Tahana bomb. Third match of the night. 3:39.
So there's more women on this show in matches than there is in any episode of AEW.
Now.
I'm just saying, we got back-to-back women's matches coming up.
Sure, but we didn't.
Well, Raquel is a beast, and I'm happy. The whole thing with Sonya is fun. I hope Raquel gets pushed to the moon, and whatever is going on with Sonya, I'm wondering where this is going.
I don't know. So after this match, we had a Uso Street Profit video package. So I don't know if you want to count that as a recap.
Let's say it's recap number 7.
And then we got a recap of Lacey Evans' program.
Which is recap number 8. And that's pretty much all we get. She insults the fans this week. And they calls this a dump of a city. And Lacey storms out and won't wrestle.
Yeah, she's not surprised that Tom Brady left the city. And that, you know, made the fans go crazy.
Okay, well, this leads us to our boy, Jeff Jarrett. He's in there talking about his thing. And the only cool part with this is that he talks about how everybody wants a piece of him. And everybody seems to be calling him out. And wanting a piece of him. So is this a weird Ric Flair reference?
I was just going to ask you the same question. Is this a WWE nod to Ric Flair's last match?
Ric Flair's current last match.
Yeah, well.
Okay, I think it is. Do you think it is?
Probably. Probably. Okay. I would not be surprised to see Charlotte next Saturday. Or next Sunday, sorry.
Meanwhile, I feel bad for the Usos because they come out to the ring and then we get commercial, back from commercial. Maxine Dupree is there with the Maximum Male Models. And she talks about how her brother has good taste, but she likes things that are, and she looks at the boys, delicious. And they're going to have a photo shoot next week, which will feature their summer
beachwear collection.
Yeah,
so I came back into the room. I went out to refill my drink during this, or during the commercial, and came back to Maxine Dupree in the ring, or in the backstage area. And I was like, who the hell is this? Honest question. Do you know who this Maxine Dupree is?
No, I'm looking her up right now.
Okay, because I have no idea. And then I was like, is she Max Dupree's sister, girlfriend? So I missed that, or wife, I should say. I missed that she was her she's
sister. Max Dupree's He's sister. The sister.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, so I hear possible. I'm reading some things. I don't see anyone's that. Oh, this one's today. So we have Maxine Dupree makes her thing there, and I'm scrolling through to see.
She used to be an NXT wrestler.
Yeah, called Sophia Cromwell.
Yeah.
So Maxine Dupree was Sophia Cromwell, who was in with Von Forehead. Von Wagner. She was the manager. That's why she looks so familiar. She was Von Wagner's manager.
Gotcha.
All right. So Von Forehead now is on the one manager, which means, yeah. Who cares? All right. So we then get all our matches for next week. So the Maximum Male Models, Aaliyah versus Lacey, Sheamus versus Drew, and the New Day versus the new vicious Viking Raiders. 2 hours. Hold my beer.
Yeah.
All right, so this wasn't actually this. So here's the thing: the Vince stuff overshadowed. And if you were watching this match in a vacuum, this main event was actually really good.
Yeah, yeah. If you just watched the main event here and didn't know everything else going on, yeah, this was a pretty good ending to SmackDown.
Yeah, and even things like the stuff with the Maximum Male Models, and even that short Ludwig Shinsuke match was not terrible, and the Viking Raiders were fun. Like, there's stuff. The problem is, as we called the show last week, without you, you usually name the show. That was my terrible title. 5 pounds of crap in a 10-pound bag.
Yeah,
because that's the problem. Is that in AEW is 20 pounds in a 10-pound bag. WWE is 5 pounds, and never the twain shall meet.
Yeah, the problem here, I think, with tonight's show is the massive rewrite that had to happen with Brock Lesnar walking out.
Right, because these guys had a stretch. I mean, they stretched into this match, but this match basically was the last half an hour of the show.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's very classic. Street Profits are on offense. It's mostly all Street Profits and Madcap. And eventually, we get interference from the outside. The heels attack. They take and they end up taking out Montez. So commercial, back from commercial, Montez is down. And he eventually gets a hot tag. And Madcap is a house of fire. He's hanging out everybody. We get a tiny bit of offense from Jimmy. He goes to make the tag to Austin Theory. Austin Theory is going to walk out. And then Jay gets involved. He super kicks 6 Austin Theory. Austin Theory gets thrown back in. He gets tagged in. We get all of the insanity, and eventually he can't beat Madcap no matter what he can do. So this time, instead of cheating the win with the referee not watching, he cheats the win, hitting him with the briefcase with the ref watching. Winners of this match is Madcap Moss and the Street Profits.
Yeah, by DQ at 16:48. There was a move that Theory pulled here in this match. It was a fisherman suplex into a neck breaker, weird combination. I've never seen anything like it before, but it was really cool, and it would have been a fun way to have ended this match. And I feel bad.
Well, Austin Theory can't win. He has the money in a bank briefcase.
Austin Theory's got to lose. Yes, you're right. But I mean, I thought it was a pretty cool move.
Well, and of course,
I'll go as far as what a maneuver.
And of course, as he continues his beatdown, out comes Brock Lesnar, who F5's Austin Theory onto his briefcase.
Yep. Two of them. First one off the briefcase, second one directly on the briefcase. And that was SmackDown.
And, well, no, Brock has to pose while the fans cheer.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Probably when the heat went off the air, he probably got a 3 Vince McMahon chants going.
Yep. But that's your SmackDown. That's what we've got a week out of SummerSlam. So
next week is the go-home show for the biggest party of the summer.
Yep. So,
and the best way to spend your, if you had bought your WWE Network at the beginning of the month, you would get 2 pay-per-views in 1 month.
That's not
bad. Here's the best question. Okay, I got a question for you. Besides, are you watching SmackDown? Are you have any interest in the Ric Flair match?
I will wait to hear Mike McGuire this weekend, who's interviewing the he called them the Kentucky Fried. Or Southern Fried Mike McGuire, one Conrad.
Ooh.
Conrad Flair. I don't know. Conrad Thompson, whatever we're calling him. But Mike McGuire, stunt double for Conrad Thompson. Mike McGuire is going to have Conrad Thompson on the show this week. There's a little snippet posted on the SNME Facebook page that you can check out.
How will I know the difference between Conrad and Mike if it's a video file?
It's very much Elias Ezekiel thing. Very hard.
Yeah, dude, if you were in on that Zoom call as the third man in that thing, that would have been hilarious, because you could be like I was thinking about the episode of Simpsons when it's like, get me Steven Spielberg. And you know, it's like, well, he's not available. Well, get me his non-Mexican union equivalent.
Yeah, non-union Mexican equivalent. Yeah, and Steven Spielberg.
So you're Mike McGuire and Conrad Thompson's non-East Coast equivalent.
I don't know.
You just have to dress up in like your fishing gear, which I'm sure is just around the corner because you're from Newfoundland originally. I'm sure you have your Southwester and your yellow raincoat, and you're ready to hit the go fishing.
I'm not going to lie, that as we talk about this, I kind of want to rewatch the episode of Hidden Treasures where they're looking for Ric Flair's rope.
I think I want to kind of go out with drinking with Ric Flair, but that's a whole different. What do you think's happening after that last match? I think Rick's going to have a real good time.
I'm curious to see if we're going to see Charlotte come out at the end of that.
I'm curious to see how many places Jeff Jarrett's going to wrestle that weekend.
That's a very fair point.
Jeff Jarrett collecting so many paychecks.
So many paychecks.
Hulu review!
Well, this won't take long.
That's what she said.
All right.
Wait, this is the free one. I probably shouldn't be making jokes like that. It's not what my wife said. Anyways, we're keeping Stephanie in, right?
Oh, 100%. I'm not cutting that.
Greg would like us to put, you know what? I'll tell you what. In honor of Stephanie appearing live on SmackDown for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
What we're going to do to fill out this show is that we'll start with Stephanie.
Sure.
Well, then, whatever we keep after we do that, we'll just replay Stephanie's clip as a recap.
We'll do a recap. Recaps of Stephanie.
Yeah, because that would make it more enjoyable for you to watch back.
That's very fair.
So, do we keep anything from the Street Profits, Usos, Austin Theory?
No. Recap of Stephanie.
All right, so we have Stephanie come out, and then we have a recap of Stephanie.
Well, of course, because you forgot what you just watched a second ago.
Oh my gosh, we went to commercial and we went back. Then are we keeping? Are we going to superstar? I know we're not keeping Ludwig and Nakamura.
No, we can superstar the hell out of this.
Okay, and we'll see the chop.
Yeah,
at the top of the ramp, then we'll add Stephanie back in.
Because we got Rousey and Morgan backstage, so.
Well, we got a progressive match flow of Stephanie McMahon's opening and the Vince chant.
Oh, fair.
And then I think we have to keep Ronda and Liv for one reason only. We need to build up the SummerSlam match somehow.
Okay. All right.
And it might be the best Ronda Rousey promo we've got in a while.
We've said that for a few of these Ronda Rousey ones, but I think the bar is set so low.
It's very low. All right. And then we put in Pat McAfee and Corbin's bullcrap.
Sure.
All right. So after the Ronda one, we have another Stephanie recap, which is we're going to call it the O Canada Stephanie McMahon recap. We then have Pat McAfee and Corbin. Then we get the USA is A-OK Stephanie McMahon recap. And then I don't think we need the anything. You liked the Viking Raiders and New Day on commentary, didn't you?
No, I've cut this minute and a half.
All right.
Yeah, it doesn't okay. need
this. And anything to do with Sheamus and Drew?
And Sonya Deville in the back with Pierce. Yeah, that can all be cut.
Okay, and Drew too. Do you know what? Drew and them, we can just put up a we'll put up as a graphic saying that this match is happening now. Adam Pierce has made it official. We're having a match next week.
Next week.
Finally. Yeah, that, and then you know we'll what? Have
let's do one better. Let's just announce on social media tomorrow.
Okay, perfect. But I'll tell you, but we will put we have to put a graphic up for 10 seconds.
Okay.
You know why?
Because you can have Stephanie McMahon voice over.
Right, then Stephanie comes back out. Yes, instead, we have Stephanie McMahon announce this match as a voiceover with the graphic on it.
All right, fair enough.
Then Paul Heyman's in the back with the Usos, and we'll keep that, because anytime Paul Heyman's on, it's treasure.
Sure, okay.
And then after this, we get the Stephanie McMahon, the Stephanie McMahon, McMahon-O-Matic tribute to Vince recap, which is Stephanie again.
Sure.
What's after this? Is this Raquel, right?
Yeah, Raquel and Sonya Deville.
That can be superstarred.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which then leads the Super Stephanie, Super Seven, Super Eight Motel Stephanie McMahon recap of the night, which is Stephanie again.
I can't wait for the Stephanie McMahon Here Comes the Money recap. All right.
Well, that may not be right. That may not be for a while, because I'm not putting Aaliyah and Lacey in.
No. That. Sorry. My apologies. That's the Vince McMahon. Here comes the money.
That's the here goes the money.
Yeah. All right.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Aaliyah and Lacey Evans gone.
Yeah.
Gone. Jeff Jarrett. Is Jeff Jarrett? We're going to see Jeff Jarrett basically wink and nod about Rick.
Don't need this. This is
also gone.
Filler gone.
And then we'll keep the Usos match, because that was great.
Sure. What about Maxine Dupree?
Oh, sure, because it introduced her. So Maxine Dupree comes out. Sure. Then we get the Maximum Male Motto's sponsored Stephanie McMahon recap.
Fair. 100%.
Then we get the Usos match, and we'll keep all that in just because something's got to make it.
Yep. Love it.
And then we get the Vince McMahon going away bouquet recap of the night, where we end again with Stephanie, and then Brock comes out, and then we go back to the Triple H's about to fire everybody who crossed him on his way down as he comes back up. Stephanie McMahon final recap, which shows Stephanie McMahon redoing this from multiple camera angles in slow motion. Her Matt, segment.
So Editor, if you were taking notes, this is a 5 out of 5 SmackDown right here with all these Stephanie McMahon recaps in it.
Listen, go back, watch the Stephanie recap, watch it over and over again, watch it in slow motion, watch it in 2x the speed, watch it in half speed, watch it in 3/4 speed, watch it in 1.5, 1.25. You need to watch it from every angle over and over again.
What's this, a Zapruder film here?
We have to edit this in detail, because that is the highlight of the night. And Greg is going to go off and lie next to his Stephanie and dream about the other Stephanie, or lie next to his Stephanie, dream about his Stephanie, or the other Stephanie. I have no idea.
Allegedly.
And let's be honest, all Greg wants to say now is Triple H is a very lucky man.
Yes, absolutely.
And that one we don't have to add 6 allegedly's into. That one is just fact.
No, that's 100%. That's not a prediction. That's a spoiler.
And I wonder, do you think, the only thing I will ask you, do you think, in all honesty, all joking aside, do you think Stephanie is excited to be in charge of this company, or sad to see her dad go? Or is it just the weirdest mixed emotions?
I think it's both. I think it's mixed emotion. I really, truly do.
I don't have anything against Vince. I think what he did was, if half of this is true, and I think it's fairly certain that some of this might be true, I feel it's another one of those weird things where the guy that made wrestling popular and is also, we're going to have to look back at him. Like we look at lots of people in history where it's like they did a lot of good stuff, but some of the stuff is really icky and it makes you feel icky. I used to never think about Vince McMahon and think and feel icky.
Yeah, but here we are.
Yep. Here we are. I hope you know what I feel bad for at this point?
Who?
Vince's grandchildren.
Yeah.
Because at some point when Vince is going to die, and I don't wish ill upon the man, but some point he's going to die. And when now it used to be that you'd write his obituary. And it'd be a couple of jokes about him being weird, but now you're gonna write his obituary, and there's gonna be a whole second paragraph written about all of the stuff that led to the end of the Vince McMahon run in WWE.
Quite possibly.
On the other hand, super awkward for his granddaughters, not just right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's plug the hell out of this and go home.
Yeah. No, that's fair. One other thing that I will say, and it was mentioned on the broadcast by Pat McAfee tonight, and this is a shout out to particularly to Boris and Matt, 28-5, the final score of that Blue Jays game tonight over the Red Sox. So that game was held down the street from TD Gardens. I know it's not terribly far from TD Gardens to Fenway Park. Might be a 10-minute ride. The Blue Jays coming out huge, 28-5.
Right now, trending in Canada, the number one trend is an NHL trend, the Jays, Brad Tavares, and then you still go down. Vince is still trending.
That's not surprising.
It's just weird that he's still trending. It's just going to go on for a long time.
13 minutes, apparently, from TD Gardens to Fenway Park by car.
Yeah. I think Double J outlasted Vince McMahon is kind of insane. Yeah. And thank you, Vince's. There's also thank you, Vince's. And it's crazy. Vince McMahon's trending all over Twitter. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. Who knows what this means for the future of wrestling? But I'll tell you what the future of SNME holds. It holds an aftercast.
It does. Tomorrow night, big night, aftercast. We've got an aftercast for, sorry, not aftercast. Brad, we're wrong. It's an after party.
Oh, that's right, because I have to learn. It's because I was learning how to live stream with Sheriff DeMarc Andrada for showing me the ropes and the tricks of the trade. So if it goes poorly tomorrow, don't blame Mark. Your hate mail can go to @BradTheDadNS. I will be the one that screwed up. But so I will be the man behind the screen, sitting there, riding shotgun. I will be with fellow member of the Super Secret Groose chat. Definitely not Boris, because Boris is on special assignment, Matthew Ederer will be joining me, as well as the living legend, Canada's own, the legend of pro wrestling podcasting and pro wrestling radio here in the Great White North, Dan the Mouth Lavransky. This show can suck as bad as an episode of Level Up, and I could care less. It won't, because Death Before Dishonor should be a great show. It potentially has. It has a rematch for what Boris and Matt's midway point of the match of the year, the Briscoes versus FTR. Yeah. And boy, oh boy, that should be great.
That should be great. I do have a request for everyone who's joining the after party tomorrow night. Number one, for those of you who aren't patrons, sign up right away, patreon.com/SNME Radio. You can participate in the after party with the Zoom link. You'll be able to ask your questions, be able to come on and chat with Dan and with Matt and with Brad. So, you know, make sure you get in there. If you're not a patron, you can still watch the after party. You can do so at youtube.com, search Sunday Night's Main Event, and you'll be able to find the feeds there. There's also a feed already posted for next Saturday's SummerSlam. So that's there. But as Brad alluded to, our Poppy, our Boris, is not available tomorrow night. So Boris, we're thinking about you. I want to start a trend on our board and any posts I'm doing tomorrow night. It's going to be hashtag pray for Poppy's liver, because Poppy's going to have a rough night tomorrow night, as he is, I believe, out with the lady friend. So
listen, can I make a separate request?
What?
I would like to ask our patrons. We are currently a mere 7 patrons away from 350 on YouTube.
That we are.
So if you end up tuning in, whether you're a patron or you're just finding us on YouTube or you find us the free feed, hit that sub button. Like, I'd like to be at, I'd like to turn things over to Mark back at 350. I'm not asking for, I don't want to get it to 400. Now, would I like to get to 400? Yes. But 7 subs, guys, to get us to 350. Small steps forward.
Yeah. So if you haven't subbed, Sunday Night's Main Event Radio on YouTube, S&M Radio, you'll find it there. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit the notify button, and you can be reminded of the start of the after parties for both the next 2 Saturday nights. Of course, after that, we'll have the big show on Sunday with Mike McGuire. He's going to have Conrad Thompson on the show this week, promoing Ric Flair's last match. Based on what he's already posted on our Facebook page. So that's great. As well as, I'm sure, a detailed discussion with Uncle Dave on the Vince McMahon news, the big story of the week. And then, of course, you get BAM, you get NXT, you'll get the AEW Dynamite, you'll get Rampage Ramble. That'll be coming up on Saturday as well, I believe. You'll get us, you'll get Dr. Mass Lunch Party, you'll get trivia, all that for about $1 a week at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Did I miss any of the shows?
No. You got trivia, you got Dr. Mouth's lunch party, you got BAM, you got NXT talk, you got the Dynamite review, you got the Rampage review.
Yeah.
You get us, you get Raw. Like, yeah, like
I forgot Raw. That's the one I forgot. It was Tuesday Morning Cooked.
Yeah. Which is okay, literally. Folks, it's $1 a week. It's 7 episodes a week. Like, the wrestling shows alone at this point, it's like there's three WWE shows, 2 AEW shows, the main show, which you get the bonus stuff from the main show. You get the 2 non-wrestling related shows plus BAM. Like, we're one show away from 10. It's like a 12 cents a podcast.
Yeah.
And that's not counting on a week that we do cross over into the 10. Like this week where you get to have the ROH review, where next week you get the SummerSlam review. And as a patron, again, join the Zoom call. I will promote you this week. Next week, it'll be Mark. You'll be put into the call. You can talk, unless you're a donkey, in which case I'll just hit the mute button and laugh.
Fair.
And do my happy dance. Like, oh, I muted you. Just like I want to mute every Air Canada out of my life.
Fair enough.
So buy N95 masks if you're going to an airport, folks. It's just a cesspool out there.
It is. But that's it for us this week, guys. Thanks so much for jumping on with us on this Friday night.
I'll see you in August. Yeah, I'll see everybody. Well, after tomorrow night, I'll be back tomorrow night. But after that, I'll be in August. And yeah, I'm really happy that I didn't watch Rampage before I watched SmackDown tonight.
Yeah, you and I are going to have to plan ahead and see, because I'm going to be gone for 1, if not 2 weeks in August. So
no, well, I'm only gone for this is my last missing week for all of the rest of forever.
Cool. So we'll figure out everything. But I'm definitely missing one, if not two, in August. But
all right. So are you hearing that, Andre from Edmonton? I will be hitting you up with a date. So maybe I can get Dre to join us on a special episode.
Cool.
If not, I'll have to put the big S up into the sky and see how things go.
Fair enough. All right, I think that's it.
We the ones.
The ones.
So there you have it. That podcast can be delivered to you each and every week right into your inbox, along with all of our other podcasts from Sunday night's main event. We're not just on Sunday nights. We're on each and every day, and you can listen on demand. And along with our wrestling podcast, we also add in a weekly 3-hour trivia show that I host on terrestrial radio across Canada. And we also add in Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Well, he loves two things in life. One is wrestling and the other is music. So we have Dr. Mouth's Rock and Roll Lunch Party for you each and every week as well. Because you know what, guys? There's more to life than wrestling. For all of these podcasts, sign up at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Only $1 a week. Hey, it's a pretty good deal. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Don't you dare miss it.